Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion City of our God. He whose words cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With
this morning to the 91st Psalm. We had believed that our minds were going to be back in the book of Galatians this morning, but we don't feel impressed to go there. I tried to speak from this particular psalm yesterday, and I only got to one verse of it. And sometimes you can't get it off your mind until you get it out of your mouth. And we will pray that the Lord will bless us to be able to bring forth, if there's only one verse we get to today. I'd rather hear one verse at the Lord's end than 10 he ain't. I don't know about you, but you know, we could, I'd rather hear one word at the Lord's end than hear more than what he's not. But verse 1 of the 91st Psalm reads, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." This whole psalm is dedicated toward telling us about the benefits of this place. The whole psalm, everything you read is about this place. You know, some people would say, do you think that you need to dedicate, is there that much special about this place where you would take a whole chapter to write about this place? You know, I've heard some people go on for a long time about maybe somewhere where they went on vacation The boys and I went camping last week. I've told the stories of that a couple of times. It takes me a little bit of time to tell about the adventures of the Martin family camping trip. That I'm sure that they'll probably remember too. I pray they will. The good parts of it anyway. But I'd venture to tell you that this place that this chapter is telling us about is in many more places than just in this chapter. It's a great deal of the Bible dedicated towards it. It's a secret place. He that dwelleth in a secret place, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He says this place is a secret place. You see, there's some characteristics about a secret that we need to understand. A secret is something that everybody doesn't know. That's what you define a secret by. If everybody knew it, then it would be called the popular place. He that dwelleth in the popular place of the Most High. Brother Luke Taylor and I were, I saw Brother Luke at the conference on Friday. I usually don't get to go to those, but my boss had previous plans and he gave me the opportunity to go in his place, and I got to go to a place I don't get to go very often. It's very nice. Other than I had to go to Atlanta to get there, it was very nice. But what they told us at that conference is that in 10 years, 1.5 million more people will dwell in the metro areas of this state. I bet you're hoping it's somewhere other than Metro Atlanta, aren't you? But it was a transportation summit. So, of course, they are hoping that by having more of those, they'll be able to get people around them. Y'all pat old Brother Luke on the back whenever you see him again. Say, get to work, brother. Got family south of town. Want to be able to get to them. Want to be able to see them. It's kind of a... Anytime you go anywhere in Georgia, Atlanta is the cog. They want to know where you are in reference to Atlanta. People go an hour outside of the way a lot of times just to keep from having to go through that. It's a popular place. People can move there. They can go to school there and get a good job. We did the same thing. Everybody knew. The people in the state knew that there's opportunity there. It's a popular place. People knew about it. But the psalm that we've read to you this morning, the first verse, it's not the popular place of the Most High. It's the secret place of the Most High. Not everybody knows about it. The Scriptures couldn't be any more clear that there's truths that God has not revealed to all. Thank thee, O Lord God of heaven, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, he didn't just hide it to him because he's mean. You know, sometimes an older brother, we have to deal with a lot of squabbles around our house because either they'll hide from, the older ones will hide, or they'll hide something that belongs to them. I was the youngest of all my cousins, and I can remember very often going to my grandma and saying they've hidden from me. Can't find them. I don't know where they are. Now, they did it just out of means. But the Scripture says that he hid it from who? The wise and prudent. There's a reason why they don't see them. If our gospel be hid, it be hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is in the image of God, should shine unto them. There's a reason why they don't see it. And it's because they become wise in the ways of this world. That's not Solomon wisdom that he's talking about. That means that they become smarter than God. And if you don't think that there aren't people that exist that don't think that they're smarter than God, get out a little more. Talk to people a little bit more. There's a lot of people that are a lot smarter than God. They know a lot more than he does, because their speech does not align with his. They know more. And the Scripture says as long as they're in that state and they refuse to humble themselves to see who they are, that there's some things that will not be revealed to them. You can speak to them and it'll be just like talking to a brick wall. It ain't going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. The Scripture says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, see, a secret is something that everybody doesn't know, but some do. See, the secret is that everybody is something that everybody does, but there are some that do. There's information that is being translated from one to another because some know about it. Some know about the benefits of this place. Some people know about the blessings of this place. Look whose place it is. Whenever you go to my house, I call it my house. It's mine. At least the bank is going to let me keep it until we square up. until we get done with the terms of the agreement. They've agreed to let me spend the night there and call it mine. That's my address. That's mine. Well, look at the keeper of this place. This is the secret place of the Most High. In other words, there's not another one above Him. He is set atop the pinnacle of the place where there is nobody that is higher than Him. He is the Most High. This is a place that is owned, that it belongs to the one who bears the title of the Most High, and He is the Most High God. It's His. You know, it doesn't mean that whenever you come to my house that I won't listen to what you have to say. But guess who gets the final say? I do. It doesn't mean that my children can't let me know what they think about something. It doesn't mean that we don't discuss things. But there's one that gets the final say. And it is the one who is in the authoritative position in that house. It is the leader of that home. And I want to tell you, whenever you consider this dwelling place of the Most High, it's His place. It's His authoritative position to say how things go. It's His. And He says that as long as you're there, He that dwelleth there. That means that you're set there. That means that you remain there. That means that you're positioned in this place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, that's another good title of our God, isn't it? Not only is He the Most High, He's the Almighty. The Apostle John tells us in the book of Revelation that this God is the one that is Alpha and Omega, which was, which is, and which is to come, the Almighty. All might, all strength belongs to this one. I don't know about you, but whenever you consider that all the strength is in the possession of this one that is also in ownership of this place, seems like a pretty safe place to be, doesn't it? That the one that is in the possession of all strength says that as long as you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that you're under the shadow of the Almighty. Whenever you're in the shadow of something, there's some things that are true that we must establish before you can go through what some of these blessings are. Whenever you're in the shadow of the Almighty, whenever you consider what a tree does with a shadow, you tell me if a tree, other than two times a day, early in the morning and late in the evening, if you're going to get much benefit from the shade of a tree, if you're way away from that tree. If you've got a big old oak tree out in the middle of a pasture, can you get shade from that oak tree by getting clean across the pasture from the tree? Early in the morning and late in the evening, you can't. And whenever we consider the shadow of the Almighty, before the dawn of time, listen now, before the dawn of time, whenever there was a shadow cast upon all the elect family of God, you were in the shadow of the Almighty. You were in Him before the foundation of the world, who has saved us and called us, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Whenever that shadow was cast in the early dawn, before the dawn of time, you were in that shadow of the Almighty. You're in Him. It's a good place to be. At the end of the day, at the end of time, guess where you're going to be again? You're going to be in the shadow of the Almighty. Whenever God's judgment, whenever the Father's judgment rains down, And he divides his sheep from the goats. You'll be in the shadow of the Almighty as being in the sheep on his right hand. You'll be in his shadow before time, end of time. But you know, there's a lot of daylight. You ever work the field all day long? You know, I got where I would use the statement, as sure as the day is short. That's, you know, you used to hear, as sure as the day is long. I don't have time to get done with everything I need to get done during the day. A lot of times I lay down at night and I have not done everything that I had hoped to do that day. And I got where I was saying that it's as sure as the day is short. But I got to thinking that that statement was derived from men that were working out in the field. I'm going to tell you, when they're out there in that field, that sun's roasting that old noggin, that time gets long, gets hot, gets burning. You'll be like old Jonah was when you pray for that old gourd to come up, give you a little bit of shadow, give you a little bit of shade from that sun. You'll be like the Shulamite woman who said she was comely, but she was black. Why was she black? That's not an ethnic statement, by the way. She was black because she was a laborer in that field. But oh, she knew the difference between the laborers of the field and being in the king's palace. Because whenever she became and she was blessed to be able to come into the king's palace, and I'm talking about the Song of Solomon, she appreciated that shade of being out of that field. So whenever we consider what you have to see whenever you see that you're in the shadow of the Almighty, is that in order to receive benefits of the shadow, you've got to draw nigh to the object that is casting the shadow. Nigh. The scripture tells us that if we'll draw nigh to him, that he'll draw nigh to us. Now, does that mean that you're ever out of the reach of God and that he can't get to you if he needs to bring something to your attention? No. But it means that he's telling us that we have a responsibility, that we know where he is. He's in the secret place of the Most High. You know where you have access to him. And if you want to receive the benefits of the shadow of the Almighty, you better draw nigh to that object. And the object is the Most High. The object is the Almighty. Another thing you ought to consider about this shadow is not only that you need to draw nigh to it. You ever heard the statement, the terminology, that somebody grew up in the shadow of something? If I applied this to my own life, I believe I grew up in the shadow of my grandparents, my grandmothers. I lost my granddaddies early in age. But I had a grandmother that lived just right next door. I had another one that lived just right next door. There was only a few horses between me and her. Nowhere between me and them. And, you know, I wish it was the same for mine, but that's not what gears all our decisions. But nevertheless, I believe growing up in the shadow of something. You ever heard that terminology applied to somebody that grew up in the shadow of war? That means that they grew up during wartime and they were near to that war. And they grew up in the shadow of it. And why is that statement ever used? It's used to describe ones that have been affected by whatever was casting the shadow. Men, young men over in the Middle East grow up in the shadow of war and in the shadow of just pure hand-to-hand, pure fussing and arguing all the time. There's no peace in their religion and there's no peace in their life. They grow up under that. They grow up in the shadow of hatred of our country, and it affects them, does it not? It affects them. Whenever you grow up whenever you are abiding in the shadow of something, it's saying it has its effect on you. And I'll tell you now, I believe with every ounce of my being that whenever the Lord gave you life, He literally dwells within every single one who He's given life to. He lives in you. Whenever the seed of God, the Word of God, was placed within you, that incorruptible seed, and you were born again, life begins at conception, and you were born again when the Spirit of God made His abode in you. You have the Lord in you. He dwells within you. But the more that you abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you don't just possess His nature within you. you began to behave and act like the one who lives within you. You began to see that this has this effect on you. Does fellowship with Jesus affect you? Does it? You know, I wish it affected me more. I wish I did better. And I'm not here to tell you, I'm not here to blow my own trumpet this morning. But I believe I'm a better man today than I was 10 years ago. I believe I am. And you say, Brother Will, we ought not to say, I believe that whenever I have, there's times whenever I've, and don't even get me started on about 15 or 20 ago. Don't even get me started there. But whenever I came in the fellowship of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it had an effect on me. Whenever the blind man was given sight by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 9, you tell me whenever those neighbors saw that all of a sudden the man that had been born blind his whole life, all of a sudden saw, they knew something was different about him. He had been touched by something. Whenever those lame would all of a sudden they would be given the capacity to be able to walk. Those ones who had seen them lame for so long said something had changed these people. Something changed them. And the object of the shadow has the capacity, not only in the new birth, but the more we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, to reflect and to give us so that we bear His image in our life. You know, I can't remember where I've told this story, but I remember whenever we, before we were members of the church, and even the year we joined the church, we're season ticket holders at the University of Georgia football games. That's where we preferred to spend our weekends. That's what we wanted to go do on Saturday. And if we got back home in time on Saturday night to get enough sleep, we might go to church somewhere the next morning. After I joined the church, the things that I used to know was going on around me didn't bother me. It didn't bother me. It didn't bother me that literal drunks were around me. It didn't. Because I was living in their shadow. I probably resembled them a good bit. Living in the shadow of that, it had its effect on me to the point where my eyes, I didn't even notice it. Matter of fact, you'd be more likely to notice when somebody wasn't doing and wondering what was wrong with them. But the more time I was in the shadow of the Almighty, the more I didn't want to be around that anymore. I didn't want to hear jokes that were inappropriate about women. I didn't want to hear curse words that came literally every other word. I didn't want to hear it anymore. Because I found a people that didn't speak that way. I found a people that could enjoy a spirit. Man, let me tell you something. Don't say these folks are a bunch of deadbeats. No. No, not the people of the living God. They're not a bunch of deadbeats. They enjoy a spirit just as much as anybody else in this world, but their source of their spirit is something that is a lot different than the source of the spirits of this world. It's a lot different. And let me tell you something, it's a lot better than the spirit of this world. Because I want to tell you, it's a good spirit. Whenever you have song like we had this morning, whenever you had the people of God arrive to sing the hymns of the living God, I want to tell you, that's the Spirit of God among the assembly of the saints as you sing praises unto Him. And I tell you, it'll have its effect on you if you abide in the shadow of the Almighty. If you want to stay out there in the scorched sun and you want to labor in the ways of this world and say, I'll just put on a straw hat and I'll go at it. I don't need the shade of that Almighty. You tear on and you go for it. But I want to tell you, that shade of the Almighty is a much better place to have a seat. It's a good place to sit. Whenever you consider the shadow of the Almighty, it not only points us to the effect, it not only points us to draw nigh to it, lets us know how much smaller we are than Him. You ever tried to get shade under a small tree? You know, one of the things I've worked with the county on building a few parks. And every time, whenever we get down to the landscaping, he'll tell me, he'll say, make sure we put shade trees around that park. He said, I carry my kids to the park. And he said, I just stand out there and roast. There's nowhere to get. We planted some. They're about that big around. They're about that big around. And whenever we planted those things, he said, well, we might need to do a little better than that. might need to do a little better. Whenever we planted some fruit trees at the house a few years ago, I was outside watering them. I'd given the boys a day off, and whenever they're fresh watered, you have to do the watering according to Brother Harry Martin. You cannot water them with a sprinkler. The easy way will not water a fresh tree. Won't work. Got to set the hose down at the root. Let it soak in. Let it wash it. Let it make those voids underneath the root system collapse and let it wash in. So you can't just set the sprinkler out there. I usually make the boys do it. I say, count to 30, sit it down, count to 30, move to the next one. I was going to give them a Saturday off. And I was trying to get it done. I was out there doing some yard work, and I promised them we were going to go up to the Carter's Lake and go swimming for a little while. And I said, just give me time to water these trees before we go. And I already had on my tank top shirt to go up there and go to the lake. Now, after I got about halfway done, I touched my shoulder. And white showed where the red was not. And from that point on, I tried to get behind that little old fruit tree. I tried to stand behind it. My neighbor's daughter came out, and I didn't know she was looking at me, but I was kind of behind the shade tree, and I know she had to wonder, what in the world's he doing? I was just trying to give me a little shade. I was just trying to get a little relief from that sun. But the shadow of the Almighty is not some little landscape tree or some little fruit tree. He's Almighty. He's God. He must increase. We must increase. He's a lot bigger than us. He's a lot bigger than me. He's a lot bigger than any of you. Whenever you consider some of the promises of God and some of the things that He's told us to do, I know a lot of times in our mind we're like, we just can't figure out how did that come to pass. He is God. He is God. He formed you from the dust of this ground. He's God. There's nothing too hard. Nothing is impossible for Him. Not one thing that He's issued in a promise. Nothing is too hard for Him. He's God. Look how big He is. And He's cast a shadow for us to come and for us to abide there, for us to sit there, for us to remain there. And He says that he that dwelleth in this place will stay there under the shadow of the Almighty. And it's in this place where you can say, I can say unto the Lord. Verse 2, He is my refuge. Whoo! Refuge is a safe haven. So I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of trouble in this world. There's a lot of it. And there ain't one of us that's going to escape every bit of it. I'm going to tell you that. The trouble of this world and the trials of this world, they're just as certain as the promises of God. They're there. We got to live in it. You can't remove yourself from it. The only thing you can do is to flee to the place of refuge where you can get under that shadow once again. He is my refuge. He's my refuge. He's my safe place from the fowler. So he says in verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. You think the devil's got a few snares set out there? He got a few traps, hasn't he? He's got a few things that'll grab you by the feet. And that's what a snare does. It catches a bird. It's a trap you set for a bird. Something that you can coax in with something that's real fine. Something that's real appealing to the eye. Something that's real appealing to the flesh. And it'll coax you right on in. And it'll wait till you get your belly full of it. Because until you get to indulging it, you still got a little bit of hesitance about just how much you're supposed to be. But when you get to indulging it, all of a sudden that trap, it shuts. And there you are. And you'll never get out of it as quick as you got in it. I can tell you that. It'll take a lot longer to get out of it than it will to get in. But I tell you, if you'll stay in the secret place of the Most High, in the shadow of the Almighty, that's a safe place. There's nothing deceiving there. There's nothing. If there's anything, there's certainly some things Brother Will needs to do better. And I'll never arrive where I feel like I've arrived, and I don't need to change a thing. But I pray there's one thing that you can never say about me is that you don't know where I stand on something. Do you know where I stand on the Bible? Did I say that clear enough last week? You know where I stand on it. I believe I stand on a firm ground because what I read from was that. I stand there. You don't have to say that I'm deceiving you with it. I told you where I stood.
You know where I stand with the truth. There's nothing deceiving about this place. There's nothing that says, well, it could. You ever get into something and then realize, man alive, that's not what you told me it was going to be. I mean, you didn't say anything about this. You didn't say that anything was going to be about that. No, I want you to know where I stand. I want you to know where I believe that the Word of God stands on it. That's my only source to be able to look to. If I don't stand where it stands, I don't know where I can stand. If I had to believe that I was just preaching what man thought, I could in no way, shape, form, or fashion stand up here and do what I'm doing. No way. No way. And I'd venture to say there ain't a man alive that could do it either. He may stand up here and entertain for a little while, but he can't stand up here and believe that what he's preaching is the Word of the Lord. Whenever he says that this place will keep you out of the way of the snare of the fowl, out of the one that is and from the noisome pestilence. You know, noisome doesn't just mean something that's irritating to your ears. It's something that's bothersome in general. And again, that's the work of the devil in this world. They won't leave you alone. You ever had a smooth night going? Everything flowing? Flowing. Bedtime's going to get met tonight. Flowing. Bass going to be had on time. Flowing. Man, we're moving through. They actually all ate supper. We're moving through. They actually all went and got dressed when we told them to. They helped us clean up like they were supposed to. Reading time. Boom. Going to open this up and spend a little time with your children in it. Devil left you alone until then. Noisome pestilence. It's just aggravation. Constant. Always something that's going to aggravate you. You ever had things going well on Sunday morning? Everything's going to seem like everything's going to flow well to get to the house of God. And then all of a sudden, boom, here you come with something out of the blue. Noisome pestilence. You said, well, if we're in the secret place of the Most High, it says that this won't... It doesn't say that it doesn't exist. It just means that it won't have the effect on you because you're in the shadow of the Almighty. See, he's going to bring you through it because you're nigh him, because you recognize how big he is in your life, because you recognize because you have received the change that being in the shadow is, that you can bear and live through these things. You can endure. That's what life is a lot about, is enduring some things in this world. He not only says that this is a place of refuge from those things, listen to the description that he tells us in verse 4. He says, he shall cover thee with his feathers. You know, I understand that whenever you follow up and say, under his wings shalt thou trust, that's talking about covering you like a bird would protect their young ones. Cover her with her feathers. Cover them with her feathers. He shall cover thee with his feathers. I not only believe that's talking about protection, I believe that's talking about identity. I mentioned a little bit earlier about the effect of staying nigh that object would be, and you'll begin to look and to behave like him. He'll cover thee with his feathers, and you'll begin to bear the identity that he has. That bird has feathers. Birds of a feather flock together. That statement will work. It'll work. It'll work. It'll work when you know people that are doing things that they should be doing, and other there are people that flock to that and flock to the right things. Birds of a feather flock together. It'll be the same thing when people are involved in things they shouldn't be. Birds of a feather will flock together. They'll flock together. Well, whenever you want to wear the feathers of the Lord, you'll flock to the Lord. He'll cover thee with his feathers. And under thy wing shalt thou trust. You see, I understand the reference that I gave you whenever I started this about beginning of time and end of time, about being in the shadow of the Almighty. And that's comforting. But the reason why I understand this context of this psalm is not eternal is, do you remember Jesus Christ using that same statement in Matthew chapter 23 in regards to those that would be under his wing? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her young under her wings, and ye would not. You tell me, what did Jerusalem, what did the fathers and those of Jerusalem prevent the children from enjoying? Did they cut off eternal life? Is that what Jesus was telling them? How off I would have given them life. I would have made them mine. I would have given them eternal life. If you just would not have prevented them from coming under my wing, I would have given them eternal life. There has never been one man or one woman or one person that has ever prevented God from giving life to one of His. And there will never be one that does. So what is the context? What is it that the fathers kept the children of Israel from enjoying? Is the protection and the fellowship with the one who was going to cover them with His wings. To be in the wings of the mother. You know, whenever I get on Burnt Hickory Road every morning, there's a flock of ducks. It's near that stockyard on Burnt Hickory Road. And I'm usually ready to get on to work, and some mornings they'll aggravate and duck. Have traffic stop. 10 or 12 cars in both directions. Somebody showed my impatience one morning because there was one of them didn't make it across. There's one of them. I don't know if it was a young one or an old one. It looked kind of big to me. I don't think it was one of the smaller ones, so you can not guess the height. It wasn't one of them baby ducks, but it was one of them ducks didn't make it across. And I say some mornings when I just wish they'd just kind of hit the horn and let the hide go with the hair and go on through there. But that little duck, mama duck, leads those little ones right across the road. If you've ever seen them in the point where they feel like they're at danger, what does she do? She stops, and those little ones, they come right up under that wing. They'll flock to the comfort of their mama. You ever seen a little child? Ours isn't even 6 months old yet. The mama comes walking by, and I automatically lose whatever I had in his sight immediately. Spots his mama. Knows when his mama walks by. Cries unto his mom. I want to tell you, those that abide in the shadow of the Almighty, they're the ones that are under the comfort of the wings of the one that is their protector. He's not only our refuge. You could go on down through. He's our fortress. Notice my refuge, my fortress. This is one of these individual things. It's exclusive to only one person. Only one person is able to enjoy this shade at the time. Only one person is able to enjoy these blessings at a time. It's singular. One. We'll take things to the extreme. It's singular. Just one person can enjoy these things. Now, that's not talking about singular. That's talking about to make it personal with you. This is something where he said this is my refuge. My fortress. A fortress is a mighty, it's a military stronghold. What a fortress is. It's a place of elevation whereby in warfare you are given the advantage of having a good place to fight a war. Are we in peace times or are we in war times? I don't know about you, but there's things that the Lord's given us peace about. We ought to thank God for it. But I'm in the midst of a warfare. I've got a nature that dwells within me that is in opposition to what I believe God wants me to do. And He speaks to me. Ooh. He talks to me. He lets me know how good it'll be. You ever done something just for about 2 seconds? And you lose fellowship with God for however long it is, for that 2 seconds of that decision, because you listen to the whisper of the other nature that's within you. Not only are you at warfare within yourself, people of God. You know, there's a reason why that the visible church of the Lord Jesus Christ is also described as the militant church. It's the militant church. It goes to show you that if you release these tapes and you just take one phrase out of it, what kind of damage somebody could do to the man that's trying to feed the flock. And anybody else who may want to listen, let them take that statement out, that the visible church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the militant church. And that is that you've been asked to stand on the lines and to stand for truth. To stand for the truth. You've been asked to stand. Whenever the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, whenever he told the church at Corinth, even in the midst of everything they had going on, he said, by which also you are saved. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which you have also received, and wherein you stand. That didn't just mean that they were upright with it. It meant that they refused to move. They refused to go back anymore. They refused to say that it was, well, we can compromise that one. No, the partakers of the members of the militant church say, we will not move. Will not move. He is our fortress. I can't tell you to stand upon the Bill of Rights and the things of our society. I'm not calling upon you to stand for those. There is a place for it, but it's not my place in your life to tell you to stand for those things. There's truths in this word. He is our fortress. That means we're standing upon Him. His promises, His truths, it's in Him that we stand. He's our fortress. He says, I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. My dependence is completely in Him. I love y'all. And make no mistake about it, there's brothers and sisters in this church who I have confidence in. And who I believe that if I went to in a time of need, that you would not do anything but try to help me in that hour of need. But my dependence and my confidence cannot rest solely in you. It must rest in God. It must dwell there. In Him will I have my confidence. He says, in Him will I trust. He's our dependence. And we are His dependents. In tax time, it's a good thing to be able to have as many of those dependents as you can have. Cuts down on the amount that you have to send. It's a good thing to have dependents. I'm going to tell you, in worship time, it's a good thing to see your dependence. In Him will I trust. You know, look down at, just quickly, at some of the things that you'll be blessed to come through in being in this place. The secret place of the Most High. Verse 6. He says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. That's trouble at night, trouble during the day. Either one. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. Now, a lot of people believe because of some of the language here and because of the fact that the previous psalm was a prayer of Moses, that this was indeed penned by Moses, because he's referencing some of the plagues that came upon those that were around Moses. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. But you know, some of the plagues that troubled the people of Israel didn't always come, and only affect those around them. You remember during the days of Eleazar's son Phinehas? That's Aaron's grandboy. Old Phinehas. I love him. There's certain people I look forward to seeing, all the people of God in heaven, but I'm like Brother Harold. He looks forward to seeing Elijah and talking about that raven feeding him. I look forward to seeing old Phinehas. Because whenever one of those Israelite men brought that woman in that camp, it caused the trouble that was caused. There was a reason why the warning was given about marrying. And the same warning is given today. It's still just as true today. And that is that how can two be unequally yoked together? They were as unequally yoked as they could be. And he brought her in that camp. And because he had brought her along with her ways in that camp, a plague come out upon those people. You know, some people believe that you have to see things in a literal way in order to be able to see the effects of some things today.
The literal in the old is symbolic of the spiritual in the new. It's the same thing. And that plague rose up among those people and they saw the multitudes that had died. But I tell you, there was one that says, I know how to stop it. You know, it takes courage to do something like that. He could have just as well sat on the chair, do nothing and done nothing. And seen more and more of the children of Israel be affected by the plague that was being caused. You ever heard the phrase, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That's a good old phrase that just came from somebody, wasn't it? That was some old smart man years ago just come up with that. He must have been a smart guy. I bet he spent a lot of time on the front porch of the gas station chewing tobacco and eating peanuts and drinking Coca-Cola's. Just a smart guy. God said that. A little leaven at the whole lump. And whenever he took that spear in, and I believe there's some references there to show us what they were doing at the time that he went into that tent and he did what was necessary to be done, he removed that plague. And he said, it's time for it to be gone. He was abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, it's time for this to be gone. You know, there's time when it'd be better to deal with it before it ran its course. But there's times when it's time to deal with it. And that's exactly what he did. He says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You know, look down in verse 9. He says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. You know, you remember during the days of the leprosy, that you can read about in Numbers 13. You know, Scripture tells us Leviticus 13, the Scripture tells us that in the law of the leper, that disease, it could leach out of the literal flesh in which it dwelt in the inhabitants of that house, and it would get in the house. It's a lot like mold does today. You deal with it like mold. That leprosy got in the house. And when it got in the house and that high priest came along, there was only one thing to do once they had tried to purge that house and they couldn't get it out. That house had to go. It had to go. You tell me how close Jesus is going to dwell to the plague. How close is he going to dwell? He's the healer of these things. And where he's present, these things don't exist. And as long as we're under his wing, as long as we're under his protection, we're blessed to not have these things affect us. These are the promises. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, man. You know, if you read verses 11 and 12, they tell us about, you'll remember very well let me read them. And they should ring a bell and go ding from the New Testament. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That ring a bell? There was one named the devil said the same words to Jesus. And when he was tempted in the wilderness, even the devil recognizes thee. The Word of God. He knows it. He has a fear. He had a knowledge of who Jesus was, and yet he was so bold that he came and read his own words to the man whose words they were. Read the words of the man whose words they were to him. And so he tried to use it out of context. He tried to get him to throw himself down. He said, is this not written? See, people will try to get you to do stuff out of blind faith. It's stupid. Don't you believe in God? Go lay down on that railroad track. Don't you believe in God? Go do something that's stupid. Won't your Lord deliver you out of this? Go and do something that doesn't make any sense. You know, faith, there's no such thing as blind faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's evidence there. It's not blind.
That's exactly what the devil was trying to get him to utilize the Bible, trying to use those words against him. But oh, it's true in the case of those that abide in the shadow of the Almighty. There are angels watching over them. We tried to speak from Jude a few weeks ago to show you that there's angels fighting battles that you and I don't even know that they're fighting for us. We don't even know it. I tell you, we are in the shadow of the Almighty God who's watching over us. Who even in my ignorance, when I'm in a hurry going down the road and I get a phone call and I look down to answer the phone. How many times do you know that an angel prevented the car in front of you from hitting the brakes? Do you know it only takes a moment like that for them to hit the brakes in front of you if you're not looking to run into them? How many times there's anger? You say, Brother Weed, you don't know. I know from the authority of the Word that they are doing things that we don't know about. May not be in the example of a break, but you get the point. These angels will bear you up. This shadow's a good place to be. It's a secret place. But I'd venture to say that if you've been blessed to be able to come to the place where this secret place and where this God is preached, if you'll humble yourself. Now, you know he said that they've been hid from the wise and the prudent. And if our gospel be hid, it'd be hid to those that are lost. You know, sometimes it takes us coming down off our throne so that we can see Him on His throne. And if you're able to come down off your throne and humble yourself to see Him on His throne, I believe there's some blessings of that secret place of fellowship with the Almighty and with the Most High. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.